Yours was the speech, mine's an announcement. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. قال الحسين عليه السلام وإني لم أخرج أشرا ولا بطرا ولا مفسدا ولا ظالما وإنما خرجت لطلب الإصلاح في أمة جدي. أريد أن آمر بالمعروف وأنهى عن المنكر وأسير بسيرة جدي وأبي علي بن أبي طالب. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Continuing with the sayings of Imam Hussein, things that took place between Imam Hussein's journey from Medina all the way to Karbala, we come across one of the most important statements of the Imam. This is something that he writes. As you know, last night we spoke about his brother Muhammad bin Hanafiya. There was some explanation there, and there's going to be more explanation tonight because of the questions that are coming in regarding him. This brother of his, Muhammad bin Hanafiya, according to what we covered last night, Imam Hussein had told him that I want you to stay in Medina and relay to me information about the movement, the mobilization of the enemies, of my enemies. If there's any information that you need to share with me, I want you to share it with me. That's why I'm going to tell you to stay in Medina. Now, till here, these past two nights, we covered some of the sayings of the Imam. This is one of the few cases where you will find the Imam actually writing something, sealing it with his official personal seal, and handing it over to his brother Muhammad bin Hanafiya. And it's very famous. The line that I read from it, I didn't read all the Arabic, the line that I read from it is very famous. We've all heard it before. Imam Hussein says, this is what has been willed by Hussein ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib to his brother Muhammad, renowned as, or aka Ibn Hanafiya, the son of the Hanafiya, which means what? We said this last night. It's the son of the Hanafi woman. Hanafi woman being the mother of Muhammad. He's Imam Hussein's half-brother in a sense. Okay. Verily Hussein bears witness that there is no Lord except Allah alone. And bears witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alayhi, is the slave and the messenger of Allah, who has been righteously chosen by him. And that paradise and hell are truth. And without a doubt, the day of Qiyamah will come, the day of resurrection will come, and Allah will arise all of those who are buried in their graves. That's the first part of the letter, or the official will that he leaves behind with Muhammad bin Hanafiya. Now he's going to start speaking about his movement. And if you notice, those of you who have been coming here from night one, there's a little change now, a little shift in the wording the Imam uses. Till last night, what was the wording that the Imam was using? I'm not going to give bay'ah. I'm not going to give bay'ah. I'm not going to give bay'ah to Yazid. People are talking about something else. The Imam says, I'm not going to give bay'ah to Yazid. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant to what the people are talking to you about. He says, I'm not going to give bay'ah to Yazid. So step one accomplished. People will understand now that he's not giving bay'ah to Yazid. But here now, the wording shifts. There's a shift in the wording. I have not risen for mischief and out of arrogance. I don't have bad intentions, mischief. It's not because I'm arrogant that I'm not giving bay'ah, or it's not because of my arrogance that I'm going to be rising and in a sense revolting against the Khalifa of the time, quote unquote Khalifa of the time. Nor to spread corruption. I'm not after corruption. Look at that. Imam Hussein alayhi salam makes sure to say these things. Now someone's going to be like, of course, no one's going to think that Imam Hussein's after corruption. And oppression, dhulm. I'm not going because of dhulm either. I do not want to do dhulm to anybody. I do not want to do fasad and cause fasad and corruption. I'm not after any of that. Why, Imam Hussein? Why are you making sure to be vocal about this and make sure you write this and let everyone know? Well, let me give you an example. 1400 years later, in Hijaz, the Grand Mufti speaks. Okay, let's see what he has to say. This went kind of viral a few years ago. What's his name? Al-Sheikh Al-Sheikh. That's his name. All right. Sheikh Al-Sheikh, he said that the bay'ah of Yazid كانت bay'atan shar'iyya. That the bay'ah of Yazid was a shar'i, legitimate, justified bay'ah. Okay, he doesn't go on because we're gonna get up and roll up our sleeves and get a little dirty with him. But he leaves the conclusion in the listener's hand that okay, if it was a bay'ah shar'iyya, the bay'ah of Yazid was legitimate. That means anyone who stands against that bay'ah is what? Is on the other side of legitimacy. This is why Imam Hussein makes sure to say this. This is why today we're speaking about this, so that no one gets up and says, oh, Imam Hussein made a mistake. Why? He caused a discord and caused disunity. Oh, he got up and he rose, but he rose against what? A legitimate bay'ah that the people had given. In other words, this is a khalifa, a chosen khalifa, a legitimate khalifa. You can't stand up against them. And then all the hadiths come into play that Shia and Sunni believe in. That whoever dies, man mata, walam ya'rif imam zamanihi mata mitatan, or mitatan jahiliyyah. Mitatan jahiliyyah. Whoever dies without knowing the imam of their time. Now for some it'll be Abu Bakr, for some it'll be Ali ibn Abi Talib. But both schools believe that whoever dies not knowing their imam, this hadith was said and mentioned by the Prophet, that you die a death of jahiliyyah. In other words, it's as if Islam never reached you. So now, let's ask Imam Hussein, okay, do you believe in this khalifa? No, I don't believe in this khalifa. But is he a legitimate khalifa? Of course he's not. But then there's some who come and say, no, he is. If he is a legitimate khalifa, that means anyone opposing him is on the other side of Islam. He's not going to verbalize that part, this mufti. But that's what it means. Alright, so he's making sure that this is echoed throughout the ages, in the ears of everybody. That I didn't get up and make my move for these reasons. Mischief, arrogance, spreading corruption, oppression. But I have left for the purpose of... So till tonight... Where was it? What was it? I left because of what? Not to give bay'ah to Yazid. But now he adds to it. I have not risen for mischief and out of arrogance, but I have risen and left for the purpose of the reformation of the nation of my grandfather, Rasulullah. I desire to enjoin and spread good and forbid evil. Amr bil ma'ruf, nahi anil munkar. And to follow the footsteps of my grandfather and my father, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Thus, the one who accepts this truth through me has accepted the truth from Allah. So these are the parts we didn't read the Arabic of. While the one who betrays me, I shall forbear until Allah judges between myself and the oppressive people. And most namely, of course, Bani Umayyah. And verily Allah is the best judge. This is the testimony to me, to you, from me, O brother. And my tawfiq and success in what I am embarking on is with Allah alone, on whom I rely. And unto him is my return. And he stamps that. This is the statement. Alright. What we notice in this will now is something more than what we were covering before. What we were hearing before. What we were hearing before was that the imam just doesn't want to give bay'ah. Now he says no. Amr al-ma'ruf, nahi anil munkar. In other words, even if Yazid had not come to give me bay'ah. This is important. To ask me for bay'ah. Even if Yazid hadn't sent his henchmen to get bay'ah from me, it didn't matter. I would still rise. Why? Because he's letting us know that the ummah and the deen of the Prophet now has reached the point where there is no other choice. So those who might say that, yeah, it was just a reaction. he got upset because bay'ah, they're asking him for bay'ah. That's not what it is. Once again, let's go to some of the counterparts we have. Online you'll find this, that they will explain that Imam Hussein was upset. Why? Because they asked him for bay'ah. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, he's not going to give... Well, they think, they will tell you that he gave bay'ah to Muawiyah. So why didn't he give bay'ah to Yazid? The question is there. This is the question that they have, the other school of thought. And the answer that they will give is this, that yeah, Imam Hussein stood up, didn't give his bay'ah, although he had, quote-unquote, I emphasize, quote-unquote, given his bay'ah to Muawiyah. All right? Don't go out here and say, oh, he said that Imam Hussein gave bay'ah to Muawiyah. Don't say I said that. This is serious. People don't understand sometimes what is said. They go out and then they undermine everything. It makes me so upset. And then you go and look into it. Oh, such and such alim said this. You go and speak to the alim. You see that as a matter of fact, the alim had said something very lofty. This person didn't understand. Okay, he didn't understand. Fine, what's wrong with that? No. What's wrong is he goes around now telling people, oh, this is what he said. And then the majlis of Imam Hussein is going to be something that he didn't get rewards in. One, two, he lost because of it. How bad is that? Be careful, brothers and sisters. Anyway, so they'll answer, they'll say, yeah, Imam Hussein, quote unquote, gave bay'ah to Muawiyah, but didn't give it to Yazid because he said, wait a minute, this isn't a monarchy. This is what they'll say. This isn't a monarchy. Muawiyah, how dare you choose your son after you? This isn't a monarchy. And I'm the one who's qualified to be Khalifa. So I'm not going to give bay'ah to Yazid. That's the answer you'll hear from them. Some, of course, some, not all. But do we say that? Well, if Imam Hussein had kept repeating the line of I'm not going to give bay'ah to Yazid all the way to Karbala, we would say the same thing, maybe. But that's not what he says all the way to Karbala. The spark comes from Yazid asking for bay'ah, or renewal of bay'ah, or whatever it was. That's the spark. But now he's letting us know there's more to this story. It's much more than that. The ummah of the Prophet has gone down. The ummah has spiraled down and is going into destruction. That's why I want to change things. That's what he's saying. So his problem isn't giving bay'ah. The people didn't do what they were supposed to do after the Prophet. Saqifa happened. They didn't do what they were supposed to do during Imam Ali's time. Three battles took place. Imam Ali says, if it wasn't for these problems that I have to deal with, I would have taken care of business. I would have taken care of business. Sometimes people say that, why didn't Imam Ali just stand and make noise and cause violence and all that and just take care of business from the start after Saqifa? Well, the answer, one of the answers that is given is this, that hey, Imam Ali said, I got this, don't worry. Let them do what they want to do for 25 years. Three Khalifas came and went. The Shia school believes that things didn't go the way they were supposed to go. But Imam Ali knows he has the competence to change things back after 25 years. But that's if no one gets in the way and makes him busy with other things. Three battles. So the people didn't do what they were supposed to do after the Prophet's Saqifa. The people didn't do what they were supposed to do after that with Imam Ali. In Imam Ali's time, Nahrawan, Siffin, Jamal, all of that took place. So now Imam Hussein says, okay, for it to be fixed, I have to do something now. Now someone might ask, well, maybe he didn't have to do something. Maybe he should leave it for another time after him, someone after him. Answer, brothers and sisters, Imam Hussein, we have to understand, is the last hope. The last hope. But there's imams that are going to come after him. You got to understand, people don't acknowledge them as imams. They don't acknowledge them as one of the five members of the cloak. They don't acknowledge them as that. Are you going to tell me that people look at Ali ibn al-Hussein the same way they look at Hussein ibn Ali? He's not. Imam Sajjad's not going to be able to fix anything. I'm sorry. Imam Hussein has to step up. That's the last hope. If people shed Imam Sajjad's blood the way they shed Imam Hussein's blood, it won't cause such an uproar. It won't cause problems for the ruling entity to the extent that till today we're going to remember it. It would have died out. One of the five members of the cloak has to do this. One of the Ashabul Kisa has to do this. Recite a salawat. So, Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahi an al-Munkar. It shows that, and because Imam Hussein puts this label on his movement, it shows that's why he was silent during Muawiyah's time for 10 years. And Imam Hassan was silent for 10 years. Because when it comes to Amr al-Ma'ruf, if it's not going to have an effect, it's not wajib. If you're going to do this Amr al-Ma'ruf that Imam Hussein is doing during Muawiyah's time, it's not going to have the effect. Not only is it not wajib, it's not permissible to waste your blood there. See, everything starts clicking. Everything starts falling into place because of one word that the Imam says. Oh, why was Imam Hassan silent? Why is Imam Hussein silent? Although we have to say that silence isn't a good word to use here. Imam Hussein was pretty vocal even in those 10 years that he didn't give bay'ah to Muawiyah, or wasn't in touch with Muawiyah, or whatever you want to call it. There's differences of opinion here in the Shia school maybe. But what's for sure is that he's not on Muawiyah's side, but he's not fighting Muawiyah either. This one word of Amr al-Ma'ruf and Nahi an al-Munkar puts everything in place and in perspective. Alright, so now I want to bring proof to why Imam Sajjad couldn't have done the same thing that Imam Hussein wants to do. We have to understand, the last hope is Imam Hussein. There's a hadith that I want to relate to you in Usul al-Kafi. Guys, I don't know. We are inching closer and closer to an age of scholarship. And when I say an age of scholarship, it means an age where if you don't have substance, if you don't have backbone, if you haven't done your reading, you're going to fail. It's over, brothers and sisters. You got to read. We have to read. You can't hide from we can't hide from things anymore. In an age of communication, it's not going to work. Yeah, back then, people were in villages, there wasn't too much communication. And when I say back then, let's talk 20 years ago even. Yeah, 20 years ago, when I left here, what we were doing with internet was we had those phone lines, stick them in there, and dial up connecting, and you know, download something that's like 10 megabytes. And then, of course, your mom calls you, and the phone is connected to the same dial-up, you know, connection, so you lose all the 9.5 megabytes that you had downloaded. So now you have to wait another 13 weeks so you can download it again. That was then. This is now. This is now that right while I'm sitting here speaking to you, I know half of you are like texting something about me to each other. In this day and age, you can't hide anymore. You can't hide anymore. Holding your son's ears, your daughter's ears, your own ears. I don't want to hear this hadith or that hadith. People, they're going to flash this in our faces in the worst of times when we don't have an answer. It's very sad. It's very sad that you will narrate good hadith from a good source with a good chain of narrators, narrated more than once with a good chain of narrators, and you explain what this hadith is about so that if a person from another school of thought puts this in your face later in university, you're not all dumbfounded and you don't know what to say and you make the Shia look bad and weak and as if we don't have an answer. But there are people out there, it's very sad, that when someone comes, spends the time for the research, explains these things, they'll go crying somewhere and speak behind their back and say, this person is like teaching the wrong thing. What are you talking about? This? If you have Islam, it's the first thing that we have to tashayyu' from is from Usul al-Kafi. So if there's hadiths in there that we might struggle with, we better figure out what the answers are. No, I'm going to hold my ears. I'm not going to hear it. It's not going to work anymore. People are texting now. This hadith is in Usul al-Kafi just to show us what it's like to be Imam Sajjad in his time. And if this story wasn't in Usul al-Kafi with two chains of narrators that are authentic, or three rather, I wouldn't mention it. I'm mentioning it because it's there and it's authentic. What can I do? And we have other hadiths like it too. So let's go into this. It's going to take a little bit of time. The story goes like this. It says, لَمَّا قُتِلَ الْحُسَيْنِ. When Imam Hussein was killed, Muhammad bin Hanafiyyah. Remember I told you we're going to come back to Muhammad and some of the controversies. Yeah, so we're going to have to man up here. We're going to have to man up. Here's some things. It's all right. Understand that. I said this last night. History has no mercy. These are our books. We better figure it out. It's nothing big, nothing bad, too bad. I just want to let us know that you'll see that it's a little different than what we thought. Muhammad bin Hanafiya sent for Ali ibn al-Husayn as-Sajjad. فَخَلَى بِهِ They got together, both of them. No one else is there. فَقَالَ لَهُ يَبْنَ أَخِي Oh, son of my brother. قَدْ عَلِمْتُ You know that the Prophet gave the wasiyah, gave imamat to Imam Ali after him. We all know that, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Then he in turn gave it to Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. ثُمَّ إِلَى الْحُسَيْنِ Then Imam Hassan gave this to Imam Hussein. وَقَدْ قُتِلَ أَبُوكَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ And now your father has been killed. True. وَصَلَّ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ رُوحِهِ And may Allah bless his soul and his send his salawats on his soul. So he's showing that he loves Imam Hussein, of course, no doubt. But وَلَمْ يُوسِ بِأَحَدٍ وَلَمْ يُوسِ وَأَنَا عَمُّكَ He didn't appoint anyone after him. Muhammad bin Hanafiya is telling Imam Sajjad, brothers and sisters, you want to tell me that Imam Hussein is not the last hope? Imam Sajjad is the last hope or one of the hopes? Muhammad bin Hanafiya is telling Imam Sajjad in this narration, in this account, that I gave you the address and everything to it. And the chains of narrators, I have spent time and looked into the chains of narrators of it. They're sound narrations from more than one individual. He says he didn't appoint anyone after him. So, وَأَنَا عَمُّكَ وَصِنْوُ أَبِيكَ I am your uncle and also the brother of your father. Muhammad bin Hanafiya says that. He says, I was born from Imam Ali. I have an old age now. You know, I'm old and all of that. So I am more deserving of this imamah in comparison to you who are still young. You're still young. In his 20s, Imam Sajjad, right? Now, let me say something right here. Let me open a parenthesis that, inshallah, I will remember to close. Muhammad bin Hanafiya, just because he's asking for imamah here, doesn't make him a bad person. That's not the point we're trying to make. No. Astaghfirullah. It shows that, okay, this concept of imamah apparently wasn't that clear for him. That this is something that's chosen. If you're not sure that you're imam or not, and you're asking Imam Sajjad to relinquish that, that shows that you might have not understood the concept of imamah. And I'll have another hadith after this that will also explain this further. Why the imams sometimes wouldn't tell their own sons about who the imam is after them. Alright, so don't get upset and leave yet. We have a lot to talk about. فَلَا تُنَازِعْنِي فِي الْوَصِيَّةِ وَالْإِمَامَةِ Don't go against me with this whole imamah and wasiyah and being the successor of Imam Hussein. And don't argue against me about it. فَقَالَ لَهُ عَلِيُّ بْنُ الْحُسَيْنِ يَا عَمْ O uncle, Imam Sajjad tells him, اِتَّقِ اللَّهِ And don't ask for that which does not belong to you. I tell you and I encourage you not to be of the jahilin and the ignorant ones. My father, Salawatullahi alayhi, appointed me after him before he went for Iraq. He said that you're the imam after me. Before he was killed. And even before, 1 hour or a little bit before he became shaheed even, he comes back to the tents apparently, tells Imam Sajjad, you're the imam after me. So either I'm lying to you, O uncle, or you take what I'm telling you. I'm telling you this, you're telling me he didn't appoint, I'm telling you he did. He told me that I'm imam after. This is as much of an argument that he can present to his uncle Muhammad bin Hanafiya. He says, وَهَذَا سِلَاحُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ And this is the weapon of Rasulullah that I have. In other words, this is the inheritance of Rasulullah that has reached me. This is a sign itself that I have the weapon of Rasulullah that has come down from my father to me. فَلَا تَتَعَرَّدْ لِهَذَا So don't get close to this matter of imamat. Because I fear for you that you are going to have, your life is going to end soon. And that you won't be feeling well. And Allah has put imamah and wasayah in the children of Hussein. He says that to him straight up. You're not of the children of Hussein. So now, see, you have to understand, brothers and sisters, Imam Ali has a son, Hassan. He's imam. Then Hussein, the brother, second imam. It only makes sense if there's a third brother, that the third brother is going to be imam, right? No. tells him that they are in the children of Hussein. That's what he's telling his uncle. So now, you tell me, Imam Sajjad, do the Muslims even know he exists even? You think the Imam, the people are going to even look to, if he's killed, he's going to be, yeah, a Muslim that was killed, madhloom, very madhloom, yeah. But is that going to cause an uproar? Of course not, it's not. But we're trying to get something else out of this as well. So let me just to satisfy your curiosity, let me just end the story. He says, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تَعْلَمَ ذَلِكَ فَانْطَلِقْ بِنَا إِلَى الْحَجَرِ الْأَسْوَدِ. Let's go to the Hajar al-Aswad. Apparently this meeting took place in Mecca. So he says, let's go to Hajar al-Aswad. And when we go there, we will do tahakum ila Allah. We'll ask Allah. As I said, I wouldn't have narrated this story if it wasn't authentic. Let's ask Allah to help us here. So they went. They go there. Ali ibn al-Husayn tells Muhammad bin Hanafiyyah, you begin. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the Hajar al-Aswad speak if you are the Imam. So Muhammad bin Hanafiyyah does dua, nothing happens. فَلَمْ يُجِبْهُ. The stone did not speak back and did not respond. فَقَالَ عَلِيُّ بْنُ الْحُسَيْنِ. Ali ibn al-Husayn, he doesn't say anything to Hajar al-Aswad. He said, oh uncle, let me tell you something right now. That لَوْ كُنْتَ وَصِيًّا وَإِمَامًا لَأَجَابَكَ. Like, in other words, I don't even have to say anything. If you were an Imam, it would have been enough for you to ask and for Hajar al-Aswad to speak. But it didn't speak. So that should be enough. But, let's finish this. So then, Ali ibn al-Husayn as-Sajjad begins to do dua. أَسْأَلُكَ بِالَّذِي جَعْلَ فِيكَ مِيثَاقَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَمِيثَاقَ الْأَوْصِيَاءِ. I ask you, by the one who had an oath with the prophets and with the imams and with the people, all of them. Imam Sajjad is telling the Hajar al-Aswad, I tell you to give us the news of who is the imam after Hussein. By the one who gave the prophets what they had, the people what they had, the awsiya what they had. So now Imam Sajjad has ordered Hajar al-Aswad to speak. What happens? قال فتحرك الحجر. Hajar al-Aswad begins to move. حتى كاد يزول عن موضعه. It was this close that the Hajar al-Aswad was going to move from its place. Like come out from its place that it's always been in. ثم أنطقه الله. Allah gave its speech. Hajar al-Aswad begins to speak بلسان عربي مبين. فقال اللهم إن الوصية والإمامة بعد الحسين بن علي. O Allah, the wasaya and the imama after Hussein ibn Ali has gone to Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib wa ibn Fatima binti Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال فانصرف محمد بن علي وهو يتولى وهو يتولى علي ابن الحسين. Yeah, so now Muhammad bin Hanafiyyah, upon seeing this, what more could you ask for, huh? He gets up and leaves, but now he takes Ali ibn al-Husayn as his imam. This is the status, this is the situation. This is the context of Imam Sajjad's time, that his own people, his own uncle does not know that he's imam. So now someone's going to ask, but how can Imam Ali not tell Muhammad bin Hanafiyyah that he cares so much for, that last night we talked about it in the Battle of Siffin, how Imam Ali kissed him on his forehead, kissed his head, and loved him, and said, Fidaka Abuk, may your father, meaning Ali, be your ransom, O Muhammad bin Hanafiyyah. If Ali ibn Abi Talib loves his uncle or son this much, then why doesn't he tell him about Imamah? In one sentence, tells him, O Muhammad, after me, Sajjad alayhi salam is the Imam. Good, that's a justified question. To answer that, we're going to have another hadith now. From Usul al-Kafi again. Now here, some of the Sunni school of thought use this against us. To show that, yeah, imamate is something that you don't, it's not something set in stone. Even your own people, the elites of your people didn't know. Like Muhammad bin Hanafiyyah, like what we're about to read. The answer to that is in the hadith itself. Is in the hadith itself, one. Two, sometimes, I want you to pay attention to this. Sometimes, during Imam Sadiq's time, this would happen. The Imam would put difference of opinion and would inject difference of opinion himself into his companions. Companions would be arguing with each other about imamate itself. To the extent that one of the greatest of all time, Yunus ibn Abd al-Rahman, he comes to Imam al-Ridha crying. Like they're doing takfir of him. Why? On another occasion, Imam Sadiq, he gives three different answers to three different people. Zurara, the greatest companion of Imam Sadiq, he's baffled. He's like, what's going on? You're causing conflict between your own companions. Yeah? Now some people read this and they're like, oh, that doesn't make sense. Oh, it makes perfect sense. Imam Sadiq himself explains in that hadith, he says, I do this on purpose because if they're united, then they'll be identified. Once they're identified, they're gone and we're gone. Now compare that to how some people think today. Compare that to how some people think today about how everything has to be done in a Karbala'i manner. Not all the time. If that was the case, Imam Sajjad would have to rise like Imam Hussein, Imam Baqir, Imam Hussein, all the way to the 11th Imam, they would have to do the same thing. Those who are well versed in knowledge, we go to them and see what our wazifa and our responsibility is. Some people think that the test of Karbala is always happening. True, but it will manifest in different forms. It won't be always that I have to make the most noise and cause the most damage. No, not always. Imam Sadiq here, he says, I'm not going to let them be united even. Because if they're united and they're all saying the same thing, then Imam will go all together. I have no other choice. Yeah. We have too many hadiths like this that show us that this was the case. To the extent, one of our teachers was saying this once, that there was a gathering. Now this was in Iran. But we have Sunnis on the east, north, southeast of Iran. And so they had gotten together for interfaith dialogue or intra-faith dialogue. One of the ones from the Sunni school of thought, he was very happy that he had come across some narrations about Zurara, one of the greatest companions of our imams. That we have found hadith where the imam has done la'na on Zurara. Like maybe 5 or 10. And they were so happy that they had found this. And they say that, look, you're getting your religion through Zurara, who is narrating from the imams. But he's not even, you in your own hadiths, you have issues with him. And our teacher was just laughing. That's the point. That's the point. Now you feel like Zurara has nothing to do with Imam Sadiq. You get what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? Paying attention or not? I can give you a wahwa lecture, but I'm going to educate us. I forgot what I was saying. Zurara, if the imam is going to always praise him, then it's like a walking target. They'll take him out easily. He's easily identified. The imams were so smart. Oh my God. That they instilled taqiyya in their followers. They caused conflict sometimes for the greater good because there was no other choice. That's why the enemies of tashayyu till today, they're upset at us. They're angry when they find out that we do taqiyya sometimes. But we have no choice. The Shia throughout the ages had no choice, or else you and I would not be here right now. Anyway, having said all of that, and there's much more that I'm skipping, let's come back to what we were talking about here now. In this hadith also that we're going to work on now, we have the same story. The answer to this question, that why wouldn't the imam himself tell his own son who the imam after him is? And this isn't a normal son. Someone like Muhammad bin Hanafiya or someone like Zayd ibn Ali ibn al-Husayn. Zayd, the son of Imam Sajjad, the brother of Imam al-Baqir, he also didn't know who the imam is in his time. Although the imams, they loved him. Zayd was a righteous individual. But let's look at this story now. Once again, Usulul Kafi, once again I checked the chain, and it's a good chain of narrators too. What else am I supposed to do? No, let's hold our ears, let's not hear this. No, as a matter of fact, Shahid Mutahari, I know I'm going on tangents left and right, but Shahid Mutahari, he says that, hey, questions and doubt are not bad. This microphone keeps going down. Recite a salawat. Yes, I'll have to go down. Imam Ali in the hadith, he says, when things aren't going the way you want, Can you just go with the way things are going, you know? So we'll go down to. Oh. Trying to make me look bad. It was that simple. Salla ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salla ala Muhammad. Attila Shahid Mutahiri, he says, doubt and question, all that, is not bad. Yeah, sure, it comes and destroys that building of ideology that you had in your mind. But then you rebuild that building, but now it's not going to be prone to that same threat anymore. It's going to be stronger now. Yeah? So we're afraid to let the building fall because we're too lazy to rebuild it again. That's the problem. Now, we're not going to hold our ears. We're not going to be afraid. It says, one of the ashab of Imam al-Baqir, he says, Zayd ibn Ali, al-Ahwal his name is, this companion. Al-Ahwal, he says that Zayd ibn Ali, he sent for me once and he was in hiding because Zayd, he rose against the power of his time. He was hiding, I came to him. He says, O Abu Ja'far, if one of us, Zayd is telling this companion of Imam al-Baqir, he says, if one of us come and ask you to stand with us and rise with us, what will you do? أَتَخْرُجُ مَعَهُ, will you stand with him or not? قَالْ قُلْتُ لَهُ إِنْ كَانَ أَبَاكَ أَوْ أَخَاكَ خَرَجْتُ مَعَهُ. Yeah, if you said one of us, right? So if that us, one of us, is going to be either your brother, Al-Baqir, or your father, As-Sajjad, I'll stand with him. What he's trying to, the point he's trying to make is one of these imams. Because As-Sajjad alayhi salam has passed away, of course. So if one of these two asks me, yeah, I'll do it. قَالَ لِي فَأَنَا أُرِيدَ نَخْرُجْ أُجَاهِدْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ فَخْرُجْ مَعِي. Well, I want to stand, I want to rise. I'm not one of those two that you just said. I'm not Al-Baqir, I'm not As-Sajjad, but I'm Zayd, and I'm one of Ahlul Bayt, and I want to rise and fight them. أُجَاهِدْ هَؤُلَاءِ, I want to fight them. فَخْرُجْ مَعِي, so rise with me. It shows that this companion apparently had some significance. قلت لا ما أفعل جعلت فداك. Look at the wording. He says, may I be your fada, may I die for you, may I be ransom for you, but no, I won't stand with you. In other words, I respect you with all my heart and existence, but I won't stand against the tyrant of my time if it's not going to be your father or your brother who's asking me. Alright. أترغب بنفسك عني? Are you greedy and selfish about your life when it comes to me? You don't want to share. You don't want to sacrifice. If I ask you, is that what you're saying? You're scared? You're selfish? No. Well, there are some things, brothers and sisters, we have to be selfish about, and that's our akhirah. And that's what he explains here. قلت له إنما هي نفس واحدة. I only have one life. And younger guys, younger people here, including myself, you gotta pay attention to this one part. إِنَّمَا هِيَ نَفْسٌ وَاحِدًا. We only got one life. I said this that first time. I remember when I talk about the bungee jumping and stuff. Right? You don't put yourself in a situation where there's a chance that you're going to ruin your future, ruin your life, you're going to be in danger physically. You don't do that. It's only one life. He tells him this. He said, I only have one life. All right. So what? You have one life. What? فَإِن كَانَ لِلَّهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ حُجَّةٌ فَالْمُتَخَلِّفْ عَنْكَ نَاجٍ وَالْخَارِجْ مَعَكَ هَالِكَ. If I have one life, one, and two, there is a hujjah on the face of the earth, but it's not you, and I rise with you and I'm killed, I've lost. You're not my imam. It doesn't matter if you're of this family. Imam and Hujjah is what matters. وَإِن لَا تَكُن لِلَّهِ حُجَّةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And if Allah doesn't have an Imam on the earth, and there is no Hujjah on the face of the earth, فَالْمُتَخَلِّفْ عَنْكَ وَالْخَارِجْ مَعَكَ سَوَاءٌ. Look how smart he was. He says, if there is no Hujjah, a person who stands with you and a person who doesn't come and stand with you, they're both equal. Doesn't matter. So now I'm going to keep my life anyway. Because in both cases, I'm not going to waste this one life that I have. If I'm going to be with you and I'm going to die in your way. فَقَالَ لِي يَا أَبَا جَعْفَر. This is the part we need, guys. This is the part we need. يَا أَبَا جَعْفَر. أو أَحْوَل. الْأَحْوَل. I used to sit with my father. Who's his father? As-Sajjad. Zayd says, I used to sit at the sufra, at the tablecloth with my father. And he would give me the, you know, the best part of the meal he would put in my mouth. And he would blow the morsels that were hot before putting them in my mouth so I won't burn. So now you're telling me, you're telling me that he who feared for a little bit of burning in this life isn't going to fear for me burning in the hellfire forever by not knowing my imam? He didn't tell me? See, the exact question that we have is being addressed here. But no, we hold our ears because we're afraid to hear this stuff. Look at the answer now. Look at this answer. He was doing this out of care because he cares for me. So if he cares for me, he has to tell me about imamah too. In other words, who says that Al-Baqir might be imam? Or else my father would have told me. Now this is Zayd, one of the closest to Zayd, when he was killed, the imams were upset. They're weeping. That it's not some outsider. So he told you, O Al-Ahwal, but he didn't tell me. This is the point. This is the last point he makes. While I'm the one who should be told first. Now Al-Ahwal responds to him. He says, as a matter of fact, he didn't tell you because he loved you. You're telling me that he should have told you because he loves you so much. I'm telling you true, he did love you so much. There's no doubt about that. And that's why he didn't tell you. And then Al-Ahwal gives him an example. I want you to pay attention to this example. He uses the example of Prophet Ya'qub and the brothers of Yusuf. He says he cared for you, he didn't tell you, because if he told you, there was a chance that you would go against it for whatever reason. Apparently there was a potential in Zayd for going against imamah. But if he doesn't know, he doesn't know. And imamah is not like najasa and tahara. Oh, I won't tell him, it doesn't matter, If he finds out later, he'll wash his clothing. This is imamah. You get in big trouble. He tells him that the story of Yusuf did Prophet, when Prophet Yusuf saw his dream and he told his father, what did his father tell his son? Ya bunayya, la taqsus, come on, ru'ayaka, ala, ahsantum, ala ikhwatik, fayakidu laka kayda. Don't tell your brothers your dream. Why? Because you hate my brothers? No, because I love your brothers. I love them so much that if you tell them, I know there's a good chance they're going to come against you and do something to you, and Allah will punish them as a result. And because I love them, I'm not going to tell them. I don't want you to tell them. I don't want you to tell them. He uses that same argument here. Here, Zayd has no answer. Seriously, I mean, what kind of answer are you going to give that? You can't give an answer to that. Now here, Zayd, what does he say in turn? He says that, all right, now that you're telling me this, let me tell you something. That that's your sahib. Sahibuk, your friend, the person that you're with always in Medina, in other words, Al-Baqir, in other words, his brother, Zayd's brother. I don't know why he uses this wording here, Zayd. Sahibuk. Okay, well, you just say akhi or imamuk. It says sahibuk, the one that you're with, the one that you're a companion of. He told me also that I will be killed. I will be killed and I will be crucified. Bil kunasa. Kunasa, when I looked it up, it means a mazbala, a place that is a place of trash and filth. They're going to crucify me there and hang me there after they kill me. وَإِنَّ عِنْدَهُ لَصَحِيفَةً فِيهَا قَتْلِي وَصَلْبِي. He has a book, this Imam al-Baqir. In that book, it's talking about my death and my crucifixion. So he also puts out some secret information to this individual, Al-Ahwal. That's all he has to say. Al-Ahwal says, I returned for hajjajtu. I went for hajj. I saw Imam al-Sadiq. And I told him what Zayd had said. He says, وَمَا قُلْتُ لَهُ فَقَالَ لِي أَخَذْتَهُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ. You got him from the front, from the back, from the sides. You got him from every angle. And you closed off any answer he could have given to you. Good job, in other words. Good job. Not because they don't like Zayd, but this matter of imamah you better answer it in a way that people can't come back with an answer and show weakness. So now, brothers and sisters, what do we get out of all of this? Is that imamah in that time might have been a concept that some didn't know about. Fine. But there was a reason for all of it. Everything the imams did, there was a reason. Sometimes even these individuals, if they knew about imamah, they would expose the next imam and he would be easily killed. This is how the imams dealt. This is how this mirath, this heritage has reached us today, with blood, sweat and tears. Now, one of those controversies that people are asking, last night people were asking me about regarding Muhammad bin Hanafiya, although I've said, and I'll say it again, he was a good individual. He loved Ahlul Bayt. Yeah, there was a mix-up, maybe a little bit, but Imam al-Sajjad told him who the Imam is and he accepted after, according to that narration. Now some, I want to let you know, there is a controversy though surrounding him, and I want to exonerate him of that. That's why I'm explaining this. That there is a cult, there is, not. let's not say is, there was a cult back in the day, back then. Maybe they, some say that this was the first Shia cult that came out. And they're called the Kaysaniyya. The Kaysaniyya are associated with Mukhtar, and they're also associated with Muhammad bin Hanafiya. Each of these two have to be dissected, the association of these two. We're talking about Muhammad bin Hanafiya tonight. As I said last night, the Kaysaniyya, they might have formed after Muhammad bin Hanafiya. Yeah. And it's also said one of the first, if not the first person that was claimed to be the Mahdi was Muhammad bin Hanafiya. He didn't make that claim. Some people came after him. Just like the Ismailis. How did they come in? How did they form? Ismailis, after Ismail, the son of Imam Sadiq, dies all of a sudden, then the Ismailis form. They say, oh, he's our Imam. Poor Ismail didn't know anything about that. Same thing here. Ayatullah Khu'i, in his book, Mu'jam Rijal al-Hadith, which I shouldn't do like this, I forgot how many volumes it was, only on Rijal, there he covers Muhammad bin Hanafiya, and he also exonerates them of all of this. So there's some controversy, but there might be some. I'm just letting you know, because this is also, they use it against us. Just letting you know that this is out there, brothers and sisters. That back then, we don't have this denomination today. Back then, there was a cult called the Kaysaniyya, and they had some specific beliefs. One of them was that Muhammad bin Hanafiya is the Mahdi. But we don't believe, I personally, I'm not convinced that Muhammad bin Hanafiya himself had anything to do with this. The only controversy that remains with Muhammad bin Hanafiya is the question of why didn't he go with Imam Hussein to Karbala? That is the only question that remains, that personally, I just know that there's lots of difference of opinion there. But I haven't researched it myself, I haven't come to any conclusion myself, so... That is everything with Muhammad bin Hanafiya. Tonight we finish the will of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Slowly, slowly we're getting closer to the departure of Imam Hussein from Medina. Inshallah, tomorrow night we'll continue with those sayings. There's some good stuff there that the Imam has also said that we can benefit from. Recite a salawat. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Brothers and sisters, today was the 2nd of Muharram. The 2nd of Muharram marks the arrival of Imam Hussein alayhi salam to Karbala. It's happening. Every year when you read the history of Imam Hussein, you feel like maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe this time Imam Hussein won't make it to Karbala. Maybe this time the people of Kufa will overthrow Ubaydullah bin Ziyad. It's that close. But then you read and you find out that no, Imam Hussein this time also makes it to Karbala. Maybe Imam Hussein won't fall in the qatlgah, in that pool of blood that they made of his blood. Maybe it won't end there. But it still goes there. As the letters go back and forth, as the messengers go back and forth on the 8th, 9th of Muharram, you're like, maybe it won't happen this time. It seems like Umar ibn Sa'd doesn't want this to happen, but then eventually you see that it happens again. Today was the 2nd of Muharram, the arrival of Imam Hussein to Karbala. Awliyaullah have ghira, brothers and sisters. I don't need to translate ghira. Some say it's called pride, whatever. They have ghira. Awliyaullah have the utmost ghira. They can't stand it if a woman, if a person who is weak is oppressed before them. They won't tolerate that at all. These are awliyaullah. Prophet Musa alayhi salam, when he's walking behind those two women, he doesn't walk behind them. He walks ahead of them. Although they're showing him the way, he walks ahead of them. He's not going to walk behind them because he has ghira. This is why Imam Ali might have gone through so much pressure when the Prophet tells him that, what are you going to do after me? When they steal the Khilafah, when they do this, when they do that, he says, oh Prophet of Allah, I'll be patient. And then they say that the Prophet tells him, what are you going to do when they attack Fatima al-Zahra? There they say that he passed out, he can't take it. But he gets back up and he says that I'll be patient. But this patience is different than the previous instances of patience that he has to exhibit. Maybe this is why the Prophet himself, he says, مَا أُوذِيَ نَبِيٌ مِثْلِي. No Prophet was bothered and tormented the way I was. Maybe because one of those reasons is because he knows what is going to befall his beloved Fatima after him. And some of these reciters that I revere, they say that this is why Abul Fadl Abbas was given the name of Abbas, the frowning one. Because he walks in the alleys of Medina, he walks in the streets of Medina, people might smile at him, but he knows these are people, these might have been some of those who were involved when Fatimiyyah took place. Abul Fadl Abbas doesn't care about anybody, just Al-Hussein and the family of Al-Hussein. Oh, he's frowning at us, who cares? He doesn't care about you. These are awliyaullah. When Lady Zainab wants to visit the grave of her mother, they say Al-Hassan stands on one side, Al-Hussein stands on the other side. Imam Ali in the front. In the night time, they take Lady Zainab to the grave of Fatima al-Zahra. No one is supposed to see Zainab. Ya Allah. This caravan arrives in Karbala. And when this caravan arrives, Lady Zainab wants to demount her ride, her camel. She wants to come down. This camel, as it sits, they say that Abul Fadl Abbas rushes. Ali and Akbar rush. This is the place where we're going to be staying. Imam Hussein says, this is where we're going to stay. So now everyone come down. Lady Zainab wants to come down. They rush to her. Will I have this honor that Lady Zainab will put her foot on my knee to come down? Ali al-Akbar is getting there sooner. Who's going to have this honor? Lady Zainab, can you put your foot on me? And all the other ones who are not mahram, they don't look anymore. They look away. Lady Zainab wants to come down from the camel. Now, brothers and sisters, let's fast forward. There's children also maybe playing. They're happy. They're not worried. Abul Fadl Abbas is standing there. Let's forward now. Let's fast forward to Ashura. That a day will come in a few days, brothers and sisters, in a week, that they will say, Qutil al-Husayn. Husayn is dead. There is no Abbas anymore. Let us attack the tents. And these children have to run barefoot. Now they're crying. Now they're worried because there's no Abbas anymore. And if that's not enough, now Lady Zainab, after it's all over, and Imam Husayn has breathed his last and the head is on the spears, as Lady Zainab goes and comes to the death place of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. She runs back and forth. There is no one to protect Lady Zainab. Everyone is cheering. Everyone is looking at her. Now there is no Abbas to protect her. The day of Ashura ends. On the next day, Lady Zainab is the Abbas that has to gather all the children. Lady Zainab is the Ali al-Akbar that has to help everyone. She is Al Hussein. She is Al Abbas. She is Ali Al Akbar. As she helps everyone to mount the camels to leave this sacred land. Everyone is mounted now. There is only one more person that is left to mount the camel. Lady Zainab needs help. She has helped everyone else. Tired, thirsty, hungry, with a broken heart. She looks around, they say, someone has to help Lady Zainab mount the camel. There is no Abbas, there is no Ali in Al-Akbar. People are watching Zainab try to mount the camel. Hussein's caravan has entered Karbala. Here they will settle, the lovers of Allah. This land will be filled with Hussein's blood. The screams of Zainab and our eyes will flood. From the heavens, Fatima will come. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. العلي العظيم وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون يا حسين
زينب زين كربلا يا كائن انفين Inshallah, step forward slowly, form together. Zainab Zin Karbala, crying in pain. Oh, my dear brother, where are you, Hussein? All together, one voice. Oh, my Hussein. 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 Oh, my Hussein, 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 King of Martyrs. Hussein, Hussein has been slaughtered. Hussein, Hussein, true believers. Hussein, Hussein are his weepers. Hussein, Hussein, King of Martyrs. Hussein, Hussein has been slaughtered. Hussein, Hussein, true believer. Hussein, Hussein are his all together. Hussein, Hussein, King of Martyrs. Hussein, Hussein has been slaughtered. Hussein, Hussein, believer. Hussein, Hussein are his weeper. Hussein, Hussein, King of the Martyr. Hussein, Hussein has been slaughtered. Hussein, 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 Hussein are his weepers. Hussein, Hussein, King of the Martyr. Hussein, Hussein has been slaughtered. Hussein, Hussein, true believers. Hussein, Hussein are his weepers. Here I lie, ya Mawlai, run to me before I die. Here I lie, ya Mawlai, run to me before I die. Oh, my uncle, there's my blood. Let me see you one last time. As I'm leaving, getting further. As I'm leaving and going further, I'm seeing your murder. I'm seeing your murder. I'm a martyr, sliced for you, to be sacrificed for you. Everyone, I'm a martyr, sliced for you, to be sacrificed for you. Oh, there will be pains for you when no one remains for you. Hosein, Hosein, King of Muhammad. Hosein, Hosein, has been slaughtered. Hosein, Hosein, true believer. Hosein, Hosein, are his weepers. Hosein, Hosein, King of Martyrs. Hosein,
Hosein,
strong, strong.
Hosein,
Hosein. Bears what the pain, Ya Hussein, while we die upon this plain. What the pain, Ya Hussein, while we die upon this plain. Where's Muhammad, where's Qasim, your soldiers so young been slain. All the loved ones that you've carried, all the loved ones that you've carried, all the young ones that you've buried, all the young ones that you've buried. Now you witness all your sons swear to you by the Quran. Now you witness all your sons swear to you by the Quran. We will serve you on and on. Everyone, Hosein, 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 John. Hosein, 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 King of
Martyrs. Hosein, Hosein has been slaughtered. Hosein, Hosein, true believers. Hosein, Hosein, are his weavers. Hosein, Hosein, King of Martyrs. Hosein, Hosein, has been slaughtered. Hosein, Hosein, true believers. Hosein, Hosein, are his weavers.
I'm boss.